I was just curious if anybody thought it had any redeeming social value.
It
kind of
looks nice, I guess.
It's like Windows 8, you gotta get used to it.
I don't know.
I know.
They're coming out with the next version and they're kind of skipping over Windows 8 now.
Yeah, I know.
And basically agreeing with the consensus that they messed that one up, and I think they should do the same here. Okay, let's try the different ways of logging in to start out with. Okay, if you come in here at SQL Plus, okay, the first thing you're supposed to do is choose a drive. And so I'm choosing T. What was that about? All right. I'm choosing T. And then it comes in and asks for your username. And mine does not have the numbers on it. They stuck with the way mine is. But yours is your username, I believe. Okay, good. Why am I not getting in?
Can I just paste in my password? Is that possible?
Hopefully.
I don't think so.
You have to be very sure.
Did you use ORCL1G last time on yours? Not.
Yes, you're right. I should have done that. You're right. Thank you. Welcome to my world. I'm still on summer vacation, folks. I mean, all right. So you're supposed to put in the T, and then, courtesy of him, I'm supposed to do this, @ORCL11G. And then I got in. So, as long as you listen to him, we'll be fine. So you're supposed to put in your username, @ORCL11G, and then your password. And then you get into the SQL. Okay, so at this point, I can start running SQL, okay? So you do, the first thing you do is you choose the T drive. Then you put in the username, @Oracle11G, and it's ORCL. And then you put in your password, and you're all set. Yeah?
I never get prompted for what drive.
That, when you click on SQL Plus?
Yeah, it's never prompted me to the drive. It's just told me to
enter
my
username
and password. It goes straight to sign in.
Yeah, mine does the same thing, but it does go to the T drive.
It does go?
It must automatically.
Yeah,
these are set to automatically.
Okay. Well, whatever, we're into SQL now, right?
Yep.
Okay, so that's the way that you can do it here. Now, if you're not signed in, okay.
Then what password do you use
for
this?
Your
server password. Okay. Let's go out and in again. So click it off and let's go in again. So we'll see. Okay, so pick T, capital T, I suspect. I think it's T. Okay, so now type your username and then @ ORCL11G. ORCL11G. Login. And then enter your password, hopefully.
I'm trying to
wonderful. Okay. let's make sure you got the right password. So now let's go in through putty. So if I bring up putty, okay, so I'm starting out and I put cisweb.bristolcc.edu, okay?
Where did that come from?
That's the host. Yeah. Whenever you log into CISWeb, and we're going in through that, the host name is cisweb.bristolcc.edu.
But how do I get to the host?
I just clicked on Putty.
Yeah,
Putty.edu. Oh, there it is. Okay.
Okay?
Yep,
so click on Putty, and then go in and type as the host cisweb.bristolcc.edu. Okay? Then I'm going to change the colors. So, huh?
You just did the...
Change the colors?
On the SQL plus
yeah.
Oh, okay. So I'm going in and change the colors, and I'm going to make the foreground, the default foreground, I'm modifying that to black. And I'm modifying the background to white because it just makes it more readable when it's up here. It doesn't much matter for you, you know, when you're sitting at your machine, what colors you have. But for up here, the black background makes it real hard to read. So now I'm... The first step is I'm logging into CISWeb because the host was CISWeb. So I'm doing right now my login to CISWeb, I hope. Okay? And So now I am in to CIS Web. Okay?
What password did you use?
Mine.
Okay.
My Linux password.
Linux one?
Yeah.
Linux?
The Linux password is the one you use to get into CIS Web. Actually, I didn't use the Linux password, but you should be using the Linux password. For some reason, they've got me set up differently.
So use Linux password
from Putty. From Putty. To get in, to get this far, you're going to have to log in twice with Putty.
Okay.
So the first one is to get into CIS Web. Okay, so the first password is to get you into CIS Web, and students use their Linux password to get into CIS Web. Okay? So now that I'm in here, I type that SQL plus 11g.sh. Did anything type there? Okay. SQL plus 11g.sh. Okay, so now that basically, they wrote a script for us, and that script connects us now. We're now saying we're connected to the Oracle server. Okay? Yeah.
What was that line you said again?
SQL plus 11G dot SH. Yeah.
Mine's not looking good.
Okay, yours is just not fun to do right now. Okay, so you're right. It's inactive. Again, all I can say is let's try again. Okay. Let me get this one finished so everybody can see if they can get in. So enter the user. So now you're entering the Oracle. So my username and my password, and now I'm into SQL. Okay, so I put in my username and my password after I typed the SQL plus, and now I'm into SQL.
So then the last step is use the
Oracle login. Okay, so the first thing, basically what you're doing here is they have written a script that runs from CIS Web to put you into Oracle. So you have to log into CIS Web. Then once you're logged into CIS Web, you tell it that you want to run that script. So I'm putting in the script, which is SQL plus 11g.sh. Once I've got that in, it says connected to the Oracle 11G server. And once it says that, then I have connected to the Oracle server, so now I'm logging in just the way you log into Oracle. Okay, because it is then, at that point, it is connected to the Oracle server. So you're logging in the same way that you log into Oracle. So how did it go? Okay, so this one is your Linux password. Okay, so there's your Linux password. So your username and your Linux password. And way back at the very beginning, when you first went in, there's a list of colors.
They won't show anything, like,
right?
So, go for it.
Well, first put in the host name, and then you can just click on colors. And I changed the foreground, so I said modify the foreground to black. No, you want the, well, foreground is the text, so you want that to be black.
Then you put your
and then you want to modify the background.
Do you have to
and make that white.
Audience.
Yeah.
Like how?
And
what
then
is that? It's just
go
like
in.
A small execute file. It's
yeah.
Yep. It's just like a
and then it will give you the colors.
You're all set. And then, like,
okay.
Like
so you're going to put in you put in the CIS web. Yeah. Okay, so now you put in your username. And now you put in your Linux password.
Yeah,
it's
okay. Oh, yeah.
Wait,
that's
okay. You should
have put
enter
before. Sorry,
this is the password. Sorry. Oh, hit delete. Does the password, when you type it in, just stay there? Do you see it move when you type in the password? Huh?
Right.
No, I don't think you see it move. So backspace of ways, make sure, and then print it in. Because I don't think you see it move.
Yeah.
Is everybody in?
No,
the Linux password. Okay, so now you're there. Now you type SQL plus 11G. SQL plus 11G dot SH. Okay, so now you're into Oracle. So now you're doing your Oracle user, your regular username and your Oracle password. Okay, the instructions for all of this are at 150. And if you go to installation and login, and you scroll down, notes on login for Oracle 11G. So you're going to open the notes for login for Oracle 11G by Eric. Okay, so the first one starts out and tells you how to log in from campus. The thing that we're looking at now is log in from home. Okay, so enable editing, whatever. So here, once you're in PuTTY, it's telling you first enter the host name of CISWeb, bristolcc.edu. I don't think he goes into the colors because, again, you don't have to do that. That's only if you want to. Then you enter your Linux username and password. Then you enter in the SQL plus 11g.sh. Okay, so it's the running the script, and then you go in and you put in all of this username and password, and you should then see the SQL prompt. Okay, so that handout, if you go home and you can't remember what you just did, that handout is the thing that will take you through and get you logged in. Okay. Then there is using PuTTY. So at some point I would read the using PuTTY handout because it basically tells you how to go about using PuTTY. Okay, so that's the other handout that's going to be important to read is how to use PuTTY.
if you're going in through PuTTY, okay? Okay. So that hopefully will get you in from home if you haven't downloaded it and installed it. And I find that most people don't download it and install it. It leaves a big footprint. It takes, slows things down a little. And it's a pain in the neck to install. You know, I've had to, if you're very, very careful and go through the instructions one by one, then you can get it installed. If you make any mistake, then you have to go back and delete it. And you have to go back and delete all of the places where it thinks it's put stuff, and chasing that down is what I said was a pain in the neck. So if you're going to do it, there are notes out there for doing it. If you're going to do it, be very careful, and before you hit anything to move on to the next thing, check and double check yourself. And make real sure that you followed the instructions. Okay. I'm going to go back in through the class one. And so I'm going to go back into SQL Plus now and see if I can manage to do that. So I've brought that up. So I'm going to continue on from where I was last time, going through the notes. Yeah.
Just want to say that whole, you know how you said the page set, page view? Set,
yes.
Page view? You're right. You were right about the query thing.
Thank you.
<Yeah. laughs>
I was pretty sure I was.
I think I was just so angry about it.
Right.
Immediately thought it was
right. What he's talking about is he sent me an email and didn't like the fact that when he did the Oracle, he got the headers and then three records and then more headers and then three records.
Yeah.
If you don't like that, you can go in and do a set page size. Okay, set space page size and then pick a number. And so it will be, it's counting the number of lines. So it's not counting records, it's counting lines. So if you set it to 30, 40, something that will fit into a screen, then you can get the headers a little bit less. But to be truthful, I think I probably don't even bother. But you can do that if you want to. The headers aren't doing any harm. They're just, when it hits its page size, it writes the headers again. Okay? And so if you don't like that, then you can go to setting the page size. You can also set a line size. I think it's a line size. And so if you want more characters going across the line, you can set a line size that you like better as well. Okay. Okay, so I'm going in here, and I am going into, I believe it was conditions we were in, right? We got into conditions, I think. Somebody remind me. Introduction to SQL. Did I make it through that?
Did where clause? I lost a note there.
I did that one. I did that. I did the order by. I did the calculations. Yes, I got through that one. So I think we are now in SQL conditions. Yeah, that's where I was. I started out the where.
Yep.
So I'm in SQL conditions, and I started out the where. Most SQL you write are going to have those three things. Select and get fields. From, tell me what table you're using. Where, give me the condition. Because, in fact, there are very few times when you want to print or show the entire database. Okay, reality is that your database is going to be hundreds of thousands of records potentially, you don't want to go through and see them all. So the where clause is important. And we talked about last time that things work the best if you are matching types on both sides. So when I have a daycare two, I put it in single quotes. When I have a number, I don't put it in quotes. But if I happen to have a number in a VerCare, we saw, if I happen to have put a number into a VerCare, then I can do the analysis, yeah.
VerCare 2 means numbers and letters, right? The 2 means?
Yeah. No, 2 I think is just they came up with a second definition.
Oh, okay.
I think that's what it means. VerCare 2 means any character,
okay,
including special characters. You can have special characters as part of the data in a VerCare 2. Okay, so it's letters, it's text, basically. It's string text, whatever you want to call it. Okay? So, the things that you can test for are in this little box. I've got equal to, greater than, less than, not equal to, greater than or equal to, less than or equal to. Okay? So those are the things that I have put in to do my testing. Okay, so down here I'm testing the year goal less than or equal to 100. Oh, greater than, sorry. I don't believe I did that, but anyway, greater than or equal to 100. Okay. Okay, now you come down. If I'm testing for a date, the syntax for the date is either this or you can put in a four character year. Either one will work. Okay. Now I'm coming down to doing some functions. We have a function here called upper. Okay? So I can say select ID number name city from donor where upper of city equals Fall River. So I am basically saying there, for the purposes of this comparison, convert city to uppercase. Okay, let me emphasize that. For the purposes of this comparison, let me convert city to uppercase. It is not going to convert city. It is not changing the data. It is only converting it for the purposes of comparison. So, if you are unfortunate enough not to have monitored people putting in your data, and you don't know how they put in the data, you don't know whether they put it in an uppercase, lowercase, or mixed case, then the safest way to check is to say, okay, check and take whatever city they put in, is the uppercase version of that Fall River, and then I'll catch everything. But if they have put in, if I just said, is city equal to Fall River, it's not going to find a match there because I use mixed cases. And don't forget, lowercase and uppercase are different codes. Lowercase f is one code. When it stores a lowercase f, it stores 8 digits and it stores a particular code. When it stores an uppercase letter, it stores a different 8 digits. So it's not the same character. Okay, lowercase and uppercase are not the same character. And so this upper and lower allow you to go in and do that.
So it found all those because the first F is capital. Is that why?
No, it found them because when it converted, I said, take whatever is in city and convert it to uppercase. So at that point, it was looking at capital F-A-L-L, all letters capital.
Okay.
All letters capital. And I said, compare that to, and I put in my literal of all capitals.
Mm-hmm.
So it's now comparing capital to capital. uppercase to uppercase.
Yeah.
Whereas down here, I'm comparing lowercase, because I said make it all lowercase now, and compare it to lowercase Fall River. So my literal is lowercase, so it is going to find a match for all of those. Okay, because I've got the same thing on both sides. Yeah.
Is there a standard to typing names?
Usually it's a mixed case the way I've got it typed.
Okay.
Okay. But your problem is that if you're not careful about people doing data entry, you can end up with some...
Nice.
Yeah, basically. And so you want to, if you suspect that the city is out there in multiple formats, this is a good way of saying, I want to make sure that I can get it, because I'm comparing something that looks exactly like that to that. Okay, when I make the comparison, I'm doing it just like that. Okay, I've got a bunch of tables out there that I don't remember what they are, but let's see. Okay, that one will work. So I'm going to say select asterisk from student where lower major, I suspect I called it, but I'm going to find out, equals CI. Major is not a valid identifier. I should never guess. So if I do a DESC of student, now I know what it really was, that my guess of it was major was not the correct guess. The word is, it's major code. Okay? So I was, usually I call it major, so I made a guess and said major's going to work. But this time, apparently, I called it major code. Okay, if you type the word edit, which I did, I typed the word edit at the prompt because I had an error. So I typed the word edit at the prompt. And it has now come up with the code in a notepad format. And so I can now go in and change this to major code. And save it. And exit, and I am back here, and I can say run, and it now ran it. So what I did is I went out and I said edit SQL, I said edit. When it got to the editor, I fixed what I wanted to fix, and when I came back, I said run. And it is now running the data. I could also have typed a forward slash and it would run it. So I can either say run or I can type a forward leaning slash and it will run it. Okay? So I went out and I edited the data by typing edit. And when I typed edit, it brought up the editor, and the editor is in Notepad, and I brought it up, and I was able to then go in and say, okay, change that to major code. And when I came back, I said run, and it ran it. Okay, so rather than having to retype the whole thing, I went out to the editor. Now, the editor is very straightforward when we're sitting in here working. If you're working with PuTTY, that's why I said read about PuTTY. You've got to read about the editor and PuTTY. Okay, it's not as...
totally different.
Yeah, it's not easy and straightforward.
It's dumb.
So, if you're on campus for some hours, working in these labs is an easy way to get it done, yeah.
When I say edit, it didn't bring up the notepad.
When you said edit, it didn't bring E-D-I-T? Okay. Anybody else have problems bringing it up?
You type in edit?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't come up with a... I don't really have a table.
Okay. Good for me. I guess I'm lucky. Okay, so again, if I type the word edit, it should have done that. Does anybody, I mean, you created a table last time, most of you, right?
Yes.
Okay, so use the table. And does anybody, is anybody getting edit to work?
Like for a drive when I opened it.
Okay. It shouldn't matter that you whether you selected for a drive.
I don't have a working table because it was supposed to save the T
drive
last time.
Yeah, right.
It didn't prompt.
Oh, no.
I don't have a table.
Well, wait a minute. Select. No, it's not. Asterisk from. Do that. Do select asterisk from cat.
From cat?
Yep. Select asterisk from cat.
Just gonna put a two.
Yeah, that's the name of the buffer that they give it. But when you just select asterisk from cat, you're not seeing your tables. You're getting it okay. Yeah. All right. So your magic this time, they were magic last time. What else?
I got this little thing buffer.
Well, it should get a buffer, and I got that too. So if I write here, okay, let's try. I put in T2. The T is just if I save things that I'm doing, and we're not even doing that right now. For example, I can make a report or something like that. But you should be saving things such that they are coming up on the server. And I don't quite understand why it's not. So if I say, let's start from the beginning. Okay, so I'm gonna say create table. Okay, so we're gonna go back here just so you recognize it. That's the table that we're creating. Okay? So I'm saying create table and whatever. My table. Create table, my table. And I'm putting in an ID of their care 2 for 4 characters. And then I'm putting in a name of their care 2 for 25 characters or something. And then I'm putting in a major for, only I didn't get it right, so I'll have to go back. Their care 2, or just character 2. That could be just character 2. And then I'm putting in a number, so I'm going to put in, let's say, courses, and I'm making that a number of 3 characters, and then I'm putting in GPA, and I'm making that a number of 4, 3. So I've just created a table, okay? And notice I spelled their care wrong here, okay? Not on purpose, but I did. So when I hit enter, it's giving me an error. Okay, so at this point, I ought to be able to type edit.
It works for me now.
And it's coming up okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I should be able to type edit. Then I should be able to go in here and get rid of that extra A that I had in there. Okay, so I've edited that now. And I've done file, save, file, exit. And then when I get back here, I can either hit the forward slash or the run, and it's telling me table created. Okay? So I typed the table, I made a mistake, and so when I came back, and after it had yelled at me, I went and I typed edit. It brought it up in a buffer. Basically, that's the name of the buffer that it's bringing up to edit. That's the name of the current buffer. The whatever you just typed is in a current buffer. So that's the name of the current buffer, which is holding what you just typed. That's what the buffer does, is it pulls what you just typed. Okay, so I'm bringing up what's in the current buffer. And when I bring up what's in the current buffer, then I fixed it when I was over in the editor. I fixed it. I came back here. I either put the forward slash or I typed run. And the table got created. Okay? So I called this table my table. So if I do at this point a select asterisk from cat, my table should be in there. And there it is.
It's just giving me a two.
Is anybody seeing the table? Are you getting it?
What? Table?
Yeah.
On my table?
I'm not. Oh, whatever you call it.
Oh, yeah. It's all set.
Can I put it on my table?
No? So, you need a semicolon. At the end of everything, you need a semicolon.
Yeah, I just.
That's what it is. You have to put the semicolon in there.
Yeah.
Okay? Yes. Okay. So there is the, it is now out on the server. Now, supposedly, if you go out, and I'm going to do that, okay, so we're going to get out of here, so I'm going to type down here, exit. And if you didn't make a table, don't worry about doing this, but I just want to make sure that everybody gets their table back. So I'm saying exit, and now I'm going to go into SQL Plus again, and again I'm choosing T, and again I'm putting in my username. Oh, by the way, if you, I should have said do the commit.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Oh, well. Oh, well. And,
Fingers crossed.
Right. I never had a problem with it. Select asterisk from cat. And I'm going to look and see, and my table is there. So I have my table.
Check the contents if there's.
Okay. I didn't put any data in it.
Right.
Select asterisk from my table should get me nothing. But if I do a DESC of my table, I'm going to have my table.
Yeah.
And why did I lose the ability to take pictures? There we go. whatever. Okay, so that, your table should come back. Did it do that for anybody? I should have told you to commit just in case, to cover our bases. I forget about it because, as I said, I've never had that problem, but maybe they just like me better than anybody else. So is your table there now?
Yeah.
Okay. So is your table there? Log back in. Okay, what do you mean when you bring it? You logged back in?
Yeah, I logged back in. This table created. Yeah.
Okay. So, meant these are semicolon after. Okay. So now if you do a select asterisk from cat, it should be there. Semicolon. You need a semicolon after everything. And so there it is. Yeah, so they're both there. Okay? So we've got the table for that now. Okay, so is everybody seeing a table when they go in? And then if you want to put data in the table, you do insert into, and again, I should bring up the handout so that you have something to follow. Insert into, and then I'm saying my table, and then I'm saying values 1111 Susan Ash, and I'll make her a CI major. And number of courses, 23, and GPA, 3.56. Error at line 2. Okay, does anybody see what I did? I didn't put a comma in. Okay, so again, I'm doing this just to demonstrate the editor, okay?
Sure.
Yeah. So I put in the editor, I come over here and I stick in my comma, I do a file save.
Is it okay if there's an extra space there? Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
File exit, and I do the forward slash, and it tells me one row is created. So I did an insert, I made a mistake, and I don't have to look at that, it just comes naturally. So I made a mistake. I went back and went into the editor, fixed my mistake, came back and run or forward slash. Either one will work. And I then have it fixed. Okay. So are you all with me now? Okay. So I'm going to put in a couple of more records because I might as well use this table.
crazy question, but if you press edit and then paste in a bunch of commands, will it work?
Yes, but you need to have the, wait just a second. When you do it, I'll show you something that you have to make sure you have. But yes, you could actually write the thing in the editor if you wanted to.
Or all these inputs off your notes. I'll work.
If you have a table of that name.
Right, okay.
Thank you.
would be a lot easier just to make the first one and copy this and just change it.
Yeah, no, that probably is too, except that really all of this is new. So right. The only thing I'm saving is writing and Sid into.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I definitely could. So if I go in and edit, even though I didn't make a mistake there, it comes up. Notice, however, that when you edit, there's no semicolon at the end. It replaces it with a forward slash at the end. So if you're going to copy something into the editor, you want to keep in mind that that's the syntax that it uses. And notice when it goes in there, it tells you that it's looking at what's in the buffer. And what's in the buffer is the last thing you typed. Okay?
Question.
Yeah.
Do you use the editor a lot yourself? Like, or do
yes.
You just, do you, instead of like going into like the actual thing and typing it all out?
Well, I mean, I use it, I tend to type everything at the SQL prompt.
Yep.
And then I go into the editor when I mess it up.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And, you know, yeah. Given 5 or 6 lines of code, I'm going to have a mistake.
Yeah.
There is little or no doubt that I'm going to have a mistake. And so I go into the editor and fix it up. Okay. So I can come in here now and change this to 1333 and make it... John Costa, and we'll give him a 2.5, and we'll give him 21, file, save, file, exit, and then I've just added a 4th row. So you can go back in there and take that, and if it's easier to fix it up like that to add another row, then that's fine. You know, I went in and Linda Brooks was there. I changed a few things and saved it. And I had, so if I go in here, edit, and I change this to a 4, and I change this to Ann Souza, and I change this to CI, and we'll make that a 3.25, and do a file save, file exit, and then come back here, and I've now added a 5th row. So that's an easy way to do that. And select asterisks from my table is now showing me all 5 of those rows. Okay. So once I've created and done the insert, as he said, it's a little less typing if you go in and just edit it to change the data, save it, and come back on out. But if I did everything right the first time, I would probably not use the editor very often. However, okay. Okay. Back to SQL conditions, and let's see if I make it through. On this one, and I don't have something out there to demonstrate this, but on this one I was checking for null. So I said select ID name city year goal from donor where year goal is null. That means I'm looking for nothing in year goal. I'm looking for empty. I'm not looking for spaces. I'm looking for empty. So nothing was entered in. Okay. Now when I type and make the command, I can say edit. Nope, because that was my last thing. So that didn't do me any good. Insert into my table values. I just went in and I created one by putting null in there, and now I can say select asterisks from my table, and it just has empty there because I told it to put in null. So now if I say select asterisks from my table where courses is null, it brings her up. Okay, so I put in null when I created the data to indicate that I had nothing there. Okay, so you can see I put in null. When it shows up, I see nothing there. And when I do the select where the courses is null, I am not, I get that particular record. Okay. Commit. Commit is more after I do the inserts. It's not really something to do after a select necessarily because I'm not really doing anything.
Well.
It isn't going to keep a track of all of my stuff. So it's more of when I do the inserts, I should do a commit.
Yeah.
To make sure that
I just felt like you didn't do it yet, so forget it.
Yeah. Okay. So after the inserts, I can do a commit to make sure that I've got the data. The main time you do a commit is when you have done something that is, you hope, permanent, as in creating a table, as in inserting in the table. Okay? And so those are the times that you want to do it. Okay, so now if I want to, I can come in here and say select asterisks from my table where courses is greater than 20 and major equals CI. And those two people met that criteria. Okay, so I'm saying where courses is greater than 20 and major equals CI. Okay. So that's an and relationship that I'm looking at there. Okay, an and relationship. Both of those things have to be true. In an and relationship, I'm saying that condition has to be true and that condition has to be true. In an or relationship, which I have down here, I'm saying either one of those conditions has to be true. Okay? So an and means both of them have to be true, and an or means one of them has to be true. So if I look at I'm actually going to go over here. Well, I guess I'm not. Okay, what did I want? course is greater than 20 and major equals CI. Okay. So, back to the good old flowchart. I'm asking, is courses greater than 20? And if it is true, I am asking the second question, which is major equal to CI? And if that is true, then I'm basically saying display. So it is going through each record, and if it gets a no to, nothing is being done. Okay? So it goes through each one and said, is the courses greater than 20? If the answer is no, I'm out of here because both of them have to be true. If the courses is greater than 20, then I'm going to continue on and say, is the major equal to CI? And if I get a yes to that, then they're both true and I display. If I get a no to that, I'm out of here. Okay? Now this is an and relationship. If I change that over to an or relationship, I am asking the question, is courses greater than 20? And if it's yes, I'm going to say display. Only if I get a no to this, and I guess I'll come down here to get out of the way, I am asking, is the major equal to CI? If it's yes, I'm going to display. If it's no, I run out of chances. So it's not going to show up. So in an or relationship, if I get a yes to the first question, I show it. If I don't get a yes to the first question, I go ask the second question, because that's my second chance, basically. And if I get a yes to that question, I display it. My eye on CI is a little strange, but that is supposed to be an eye. Okay. So if I come back over here and I change this, so I'm going to go back into the editor and I'm going to change the and to an or. So when I come back here now and say run, it is showing me actually everybody, because everybody, either the only one that didn't have courses greater than 20 was David Anderson, and he had a CI major. Everybody else had a course greater than 20, except for, sorry, the null person didn't either, but they were also a CI major. So I ended up getting all of the records on this one simply because of the criteria I chose. Okay. So if I choose particular criteria, sometimes I'm going to get all my records. It depends on the criteria that I chose. Okay. Now we come to the ands before ors. Okay. down here, we have one where I said, where your goal is greater than 100 and state equals Rhode Island or contact equals Amy Costa. Okay? Now, the deal is that ands get resolved before ors. Ands get resolved before ors. Okay? So that means if you look at this, it will combine those two, and this one will stand alone. Okay? Because the ands get combined, they get resolved. So it looks at it as year goal and state equals Rhode Island, or just contact equals Amy Costa. Okay? So these end up being this and this. So those are combined. Or the contact equals Amy Costa. Now I can change that. And I did that down below. Okay? If I put in parentheses, okay, parentheses get handled with this. Okay? So I got real lucky and I was able to write. So parentheses and then ands. And then ors. Okay? So in this one, it ends up being year goal and either. You can read it like that. It ends up year goal greater than 100 and either of the things in parentheses. Okay? Because the parentheses got resolved first. And it's saying, okay, this or this. And then it goes outside and says, okay, year goal greater than 100 and either this or this. So when you put the parenthesis in, you end up changing the order. And it ends up being resolved that way. And we are running out of time. Okay. Yeah, I was overly optimistic. I'll get to this on Thursday. Kind of plug along on the homework and we won't worry about it, but maybe by this weekend I can get the first assignment. So we'll just plug along at it, okay? Because we kind of ran into some issues today getting things working. Okay. I'm done.
Question.
Yeah.
So if you weren't
not yet the null pop up before the last the death looking at it, if you wanted to take that out and use really way and not null, is that how you do it? And then you could add in conditions so that you could.
Where not null would have got me everybody else.
Yeah, and I would have eliminated
that person. Yeah, right, exactly. So null gets me Jane, not null gets me everybody else.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had a question, right?
So okay. As of right now, what do we have to do?
Maybe. I'll see if I can go on.
Just work on the homework. She gave us like a legit like, date.
Yeah, it was once that everybody in the fight, so.
No, it's safe
enough. I can do a little bit. I don't know what it is. I was trying to figure it out myself.
No, I know, right? But I don't. Last class, I took a message. It was just like, I guess I have it done by next Thursday. Like an HTML. Here, it's just like, I look on it and I'm like, holy shit. Oh, man. I really want it.
donor and first table.
The beginning of this handout, No, I think it's in the introduction to SQL handout.
Descending, so it's going to be ordered in reverse. And down here, I usually just hit exit right now. That's what I'm. So you hit control X.
There we go. Select distinct. What distinct does is the example I used was if I had a whole lot of space and I wanted to do hello.
It would go to Notepad. It's gonna be different. It'll.
No, that's okay. I was just trying to get his attention because he'd asked me a question too.
I haven't done that yet, so. But I'm sure it's way easier to use Notepad than what we just did.
What did you just do? Which is just putty. In putty, I end up typing it over again usually.
Yeah, I just press the up arrow and it comes right back, and I'll be like, okay, edit, done.
Right.
That's the best way to go about it, I think.
But I definitely don't want to use putty in the classroom, so because I can go a lot faster and a lot clearer when I'm not using putty in here.
I'm going to have to, when I come in here, use it on the, it'll work out too, it connects.
Yeah, they're both on the server.
So it works out.
I mean, the big downside of downloading your own version at home is that you're not using the BCC server, so the stuff isn't here unless you go through the export exercise, which is not that easy, and export things over, so that's the disadvantage of having it installed at home.
If
you use putty at home, you're at least getting to the server.
Yeah.
I mean, I have mixed feelings. I do it at home because I'm testing things and I don't care that they're not on the server.
I will be right back. You'll see.